Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, hey, good morning again. You have to forgive me, I'm feeling a little heavier today than normal. I'm not sure why, but hey, if you've just joined us, we're in a series right now called Overload. How many have been here for all of them? You get no prize, but good job. And I am enjoying this, and I'm so grateful to hear people are enjoying it. But also, I hear people are really taking time to ponder this series and to, question some things. You can actually put that right up, guys, the vase and that. So if you're jumping in, we've already done a couple weeks, but hopefully you'll be able to catch up. I'm going to just quickly give a recap. But we've been talking about the fact it's overload, and there's that framework we've been talking about. So this idea that we all carry a load, don't we? Like I said, I'm carrying a heavier load today than I normally do, so I feel heavy. I can actually feel the weight of this. I'm not going to preach the whole time with this on, but I feel the weight of it. And we know that we all have things. You know, we all have different loads that we carry. So, you know, relationship struggles. That's a load, isn't it? I've watched it myself in life. It consumes your thoughts sometimes. I've watched it in my kids. Here's a basic one, right? Commitments, right? Things that you commit to do, commit to go to, commit to be a part of. Nothing wrong with that. Actually, a lot of these, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, this is a tough one, but we all have it. Financial pressure. That's a load we carry, right? Sometimes more than others, something goes wrong. Two appliances die at the same time. Anybody ever have that? Yeah, great, you know, financial pressure. Here's a regular thing, right? House maintenance. Let's just wait, right? You know, trying to teach my kids. Right now, they have the luxury of living at home. But we're trying to teach them, when you're married, the things that we do when you come home, you're going to have to do more. So we're trying to get them to do more. Because if we don't train them, that weight can weigh you down. Anybody go to work ever? No hands? All right, good. I'm not sure you let me know how that works then. Then I don't know how, if you don't go to work, I don't know how you pay bills. But bills lead to financial pressure. How many have this? Family responsibilities. There's only a few hands. Okay. If family responsibilities leads to kids' activities. And we live in a new day and age where if you play a sport, you might start that sport in grade school at 6 or 7 in the morning. Who had the bright idea of that? Somebody without kids. There we go. isn't it true, though? Like, I drove by one day, it was dark at Gosfield, and all these kids, and they're like, oh, yeah, we have to go to band practice in the morning and this practice. That's crazy. All right, here's another one. The load of health concerns. Health concerns for yourself, health concerns for your kids, health concerns for your parents. And then with that, of course, we have aging parents. And if you're in that category, that can be a real concern. I'm walking with a lot of people, myself. My parents are healthy and here. My dad's 91. Yes, you are. And my mom's an age. And see, my dad will forget that I said it. My mom won't. So that's the problem. I can't say it. So, but challenges come with this, right? Challenges come with this. And so it's just the weight of responsibility. It's the weight of carrying these things. It's the load that we carry. And again, not all of these are bad. Now, the second week we talked about the fact that culture is telling us a story. And I really want you to remember this because it's going to tie into today. But culture tells us a story. Here's something crazy I did not know. Did you know that on average, you see between 4,000 and 10,000 ads a day? Everywhere you go, social media, newspaper ads. You know, social media obviously is a big one. Hey, do you remember when we signed up for Netflix and Prime and they didn't have commercials and we were so excited? What? They're back. Trivago. You know, you didn't check Trivago. How many times do I need to see that commercial to understand I didn't check Trivago? If you don't watch, I don't know, one of those Anyway, here's one. If you don't think you have, you don't see ads, not everything can be purchased, but those things that can be purchased with Visa or MasterCard. I remember that video all the time, over and over again. You go down, walk down the street, you see advertisements on buses and wrapped around things all over the place to 4,000, 10,000. And what are they telling you? That you can find rest by buying something else. You can find happiness by buying something else, right? If you do more, be more, you know, post more, achieve more. This is the American dream, to achieve more, to be more. And unfortunately, we've all bought into it in some extent. The problem is, and that's what society or culture is telling us, you know, but it tells us then that we need a new car and new clothes and a new house and new this because something else just came. And they're plotting against us because every year they come out with their new color scheme for the year. And that means we have to paint our houses again sometimes. And we don't want to do that. But here's the thing. The meaning, the second part to it is what we tell ourselves. Because if we can't keep up with that, we're telling ourselves that we're falling behind. We're telling ourselves that I'm not enough. We're telling ourselves I should be further ahead than I am. We're telling ourselves my value comes from what I produce and own. And then we tell ourselves, if I stop or slow down, I'm going to fail. And if I rest, someone else will get ahead of me. And there's a whole lot of other thoughts that we carry. And what do we call these last week? When a thought goes over and over in our minds, it becomes a stronghold, a mindset or a stronghold. Something that now is so in you that you have a hard time not thinking that way. And we talked about the example of every time, you know, this happens, or every time I do this, this happens. Well, that's a stronghold. It's not every time, but you think it's going to be every time. Therefore, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Every time you do it, it happens. There's a quote, the next slide. I love this quote. It says, the pace of your life is perfectly designed to produce the anxiety you are experiencing. The pace of your life is perfectly designed to produce the anxiety you're experiencing. Now here's what we're going to jump into today a little bit. So we've talked about the fact that it's not just what you're carrying. It's not just the thoughts behind what you're carrying. What I want to talk about today is the fact that it's also the pace in which these things are coming. And we did touch on this the first week, you know. Now we live in a 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that you have the privilege and opportunity to check your email and get your news. You get texts, you get dings. I got a ding in the middle of the night and had to figure out what it was for. We have security cameras now. And I did not realize how many dings we get in a day of cars coming into our parking lot and turning around and doing weird things. So I get dings all the time, 24 hours a day. I have, you know, you get it, emails, phone calls, family problems. You can get a hold of me anytime. And here's the thing, that the pace nowadays is just picking up and picking up. And we get more calls and more emails and more things we got to do and more kids' activities and more and more and more. And it never ever stops in today's world. We just get more and more, more texts, more everything. And you can understand what's going to happen. We've already done this, but we understand eventually we will overflow. And the challenge is that we often don't think there's anything wrong with this. But here's the problem. This weight, this way will eventually stop you. Your doctor will stop you. Your mind will stop you. Your body will stop you. At some point, you will stop and you'll think you're resting, but you're not resting. Your soul is just finally been telling your body for so long what's been happening, and it finally, your body caught up with your soul. You get sick, so you have to take a break. 2017, I had to take 4 months to take a break. That was not rest. Well, it was rest, but it was not my choice. It was my body's choice. And then it was my psychologist who said, either you stop work or I will write you a letter that forces you to. See, that's not a rest. And if you can help me carry the load, hon. Yeah, it rips. That's what usually happens when we can't hold things long enough. Things break. I want to talk today. There's nothing in here. I know, you're so strong. Thank you, Colin. It's like... Well, Colin, it was nice having you in our family for a while, but... Find another person.
Sorry.
Colin's dating my daughter, if you didn't catch that, so... I want to talk today about something that I wish I would have known a long time ago. I've preached a whole series on it. I'm still debating whether I want to preach more on this, because the more I get into it, it's like one of those things that you're maybe told, or I would say it this way, it's like something you do and you forget why you do it. It's like you brush your teeth over and over again every day, and if you lived 1,000 years and nobody ever told you why, you know, 899 year in, you'd be like holding this toothbrush and you go, why do I do this every day? And if you didn't go to the dentist, you'd never know. So you'd stop doing it only to get to the dentist and they'd be like, oh my gosh, like your teeth are decaying. Well, I didn't know I was supposed to do this. And the problem is that with religion, we want to, like we want everybody to do it so often that we force people to do it because we know it's good for them. And whenever you force something, it becomes a law and people rebel against laws. And I want you to know what we're going to talk about today is not a law. It's the most beautiful thing ever designed, and I'm just experiencing it more and more. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. See, you guys are catching on. Turn to Genesis. And turn to Genesis 2. Genesis 2 is the beautiful story of creation. Turn to Genesis 2, specifically 2 and 3. You can look up there. It's always good to look in your Bibles, though. We have the story of creation. God's creating all the things, you know, day 1, day 2, day 3. He goes through all of them. And this is on the seventh day, Genesis 2, 2 and 3. It says, on the seventh day, God ended his work. Who ended his work? God did. The creator of the universe, the one that knows all things, the one that is wiser than anyone in this room and all of us put together across the world. He ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So what did he do? He blessed it. He said, this is a good thing, and he blessed rest. Really interesting. Do you know when man was created? Day 6. Man was created on day 6. Therefore, his first full day was a day of rest. It didn't come after work. It came right into rest, which is a beautiful thing, because if we look at it, I believe God was saying, listen, you don't have to work to rest. You don't have to earn rest. You need to understand rest is important. Therefore, I'm creating a day, and I want you to start thinking of it this way. I'm creating a day of delight. I'm creating a day for you to rest. And everybody said, now, I'm going to put up a definition here. The word rest is Shabbat. And you'll understand if you've ever heard the word Shabbat, which is the word Sabbath, which we'll look at in a second. The word Sabbath comes from the word Shabbat. And the word Shabbat, which is rest, that's the word we just read in Hebrew, it means this. It means to cease, to stop, to desist, to come to an end, to interrupt an activity. How many of us know how to do that in life today? The other day, I don't know if you remember, I jetted out of here when I was done because I had to go to a get-together, and we had to go, and we stopped at our house and we changed and we went to our get together and I forgot my phone. That was like that bag, that heavy bag, Colin. Heavy, right? That was like that heavy bag came off. I could not believe how restful I was without having to answer my phone. One little thing took a weight off my shoulders for 4 hours. See, I often carry my phone even though I'm trying to learn to Sabbath and I have to learn to put my phone away because when my phone is on me, I am not often stopping or desisting or letting things come to an end. See, what happens? You get the dings. You look at your phone. Something that pulls you right back into that hurried, overloaded life. You know, we used to go on vacation. I would bring a camera with me. I know that's aging me a little bit, but we'd have cameras. Now everything is in this little device. So my camera's on this device. And when we used to go on vacation, most places did not have Wi-Fi. You had to pay for Wi-Fi. I didn't want to pay for Wi-Fi. I wouldn't pay for Wi-Fi. There, I could carry my phone and use my camera. Well, now you get free Wi-Fi. So I'm taking pictures on vacation, getting dings, pulling me back into my world that I don't want to be a part of for that week. What we don't realize is psychologically, and this I could not believe, did you know that when you look at something at home, read something at home that has to do with your work, your body cannot distinguish whether you're at work or not, and the same chemical response happens in your body. We like to think that I'm not at work, therefore my body will process this information differently, and it doesn't. So I just want you to understand that this literally Shabbat is what Shabbat comes from, and it means to stop and to rest. So turn with me to Exodus, because this is the next place where we find it. Exodus 16. And if you know the story, this is after the Israelites were in, where were they in before the Exodus? My brain just blanked out on me. Come on. Egypt, thank you very much. They were in Egypt. What were they doing in Egypt? Taking a vacation? Absolutely not. We talked about a little while ago, we talked about a couple weeks ago, the fact that Pharaoh, the one way that the enemy loves to kill us, in this sense, Pharaoh was worried that the Israelites were becoming so strong, what he decided to do was overwork them. He just kept saying, you need more. We want more bricks. We want more storage cities. We want more, more, more. And every time he was more afraid, he put more work upon the Israelites. Well, isn't it interesting? That's what culture is doing today. If you can't have somebody over you that's trying to kill you, because this is what the enemy does, John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you can't have somebody over you doing it, well, I'm going to convince you to do it to yourself. I'm going to convince you that you need more, that you have to do more to be important and to have value. And now we live in this system more and more out of that. They're coming out of this work mentality. By the way, if you're a slave, you don't have a Sabbath. You don't have a day of rest. You work 7 days a week, sometimes 12, 13, 14 hours a day. You don't stop. Why? Because you need to produce. And then in Exodus, God says to them, then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. This is not even law yet. These first two things in Genesis and Exodus were not a law. They were simply saying, listen, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have a day of rest. And if you read this whole chapter, basically God puts into place this whole idea of manna. And he says, manna's going to fall from the sky. It's a pretty cool thing. And I won't go into that. Okay, that's a rabbit trail. Manna's going to fall from the sky. And every day you're going to go out, you're going to collect what you need. But on the sixth day, you're going to collect twice as much as you need. Because on the seventh day, nothing's going to fall. So on the sixth day, all you need to do is collect enough for you and your family to have 2 days worth, because tomorrow you're not gonna work. You're gonna rest and you're gonna call it holy. It's funny, when you're a kid growing up, you think, what do you mean I'm gonna rest? We'll talk about that in a minute, but it's amazing because law gets in there and religion gets in there, and we start to tell everybody what they can't do. And this is what happens to the Jewish culture many years later. They're told, this is how many steps you can walk. This is what you can carry. I've gone into it. Maybe another time I will. The laws that they have are crazy. Like, they're measuring everything to make sure that they don't go over. Well, I want to let you know that's not what actually God designed the Sabbath for. He basically said tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. And then we have another one in Exodus. This is where it becomes law. The next slide. Oh, actually, let's go back. I'm going to read it because I didn't put a slide together for it. Turn with me to Exodus 20. And then we'll look at Deuteronomy. Exodus 20. This is where it becomes a law. And I really want you to read it carefully with me. Exodus 20. So you're going to do some work by opening up your Bible app, if you have a Bible app or the Bible. X20 verse 8. Exodus 20 verse 8 says, as soon as I get there. That's why slides are so much easier. Exodus 20 verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath or a Shabbat, a time to stop, right? Shabbat or Shabbat to the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord God blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it, or made it holy. Who rested on the seventh day? God, and then everybody else. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy. I do have that slide. It's interesting that this in Exodus was the first time he gave that commandment. And this was the generation that had just come out of Exodus. But I want to show you something that's so interesting in Deuteronomy 5. Because he gives the same commandment, but he adds something different, because 40 years later, this is the next generation, and he needs to remind them of something. So the first time he gives the commandment, he ties it to creation and God resting. But the second time he gives the commandment, look what he says. He says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and your Lord God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I think it's so interesting that the first generation was able to look back to creation and go, you know what? God made Sabbath. We need to keep Sabbath. But now the next time for the next generation, they're going, listen, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to become a slave again. So remember that you were slaves. You're no longer slaves. You don't have to be a slave anymore. I think it's interesting that culture has taught us to become slaves again. Culture has taught us through 4,000 to 10,000 ads a day to buy peace, not receive peace. We need to buy our value and work our value instead of being valuable. And when you get into this thought process, you begin to work more to provide or to get more. And if you have to work more, your schedule fills up more, but then the next thing comes out and you want to buy that too, so you buy it and now you need to work more. And you're telling me I need to take a day to rest? You are legalistic. You are legalistic. No, you've become a slave, and you've lost the beauty of rest and what it provides for you. See, what I want to look at for the rest of our time together, because here's the thing, that we have this and we know this. So for some of you, I hope you're taking stock and going, you know what, house maintenance like I'm doing right now, I need to share that load a little more. I need to share with my kids. My kids are adults. They need to help out more. So I'm looking through my load and I'm starting to realize I need to share. I'm also looking through the meaning of things that I have and strongholds, and I'm starting to go, that's a stronghold in my life. I don't want that anymore. But the question I want to answer today is, how do we empty this thing? How do we slow the pace and how do we empty? Well, I am convinced, and you will not convince me otherwise, that a Sabbath rest is a rhythm of grace that the Lord gave that we have lost. Our bodies were never meant to sustain 7 days a week work. It is proven time and time again, you can sustain it for a while. Eventually, your body will begin to show it. The question I ask, though, is if we all could, wouldn't we want to delight ourselves in a day of rest? So we've often been told, well, then I got to become holy and I got to wear a suit and I got to go to church for 7 hours a day. Who told you that? Because it wasn't God. It was religion. Now, I 100% believe a day of a Sabbath begins with worship to the Lord. If we don't start with the right idea of going, Lord, you are creator, I'm not. You are holy, I'm not. You are amazing, I am too. But you are amazing first because God created me, so therefore I must be amazing. Some of you will catch up to not being, oh, that's egotistical. No, I want to believe I'm pretty good. Because living with all these other ugly thoughts is not good. But we start our day with worship and we praise the Lord and this is what we're doing right now. We're grateful for him. Pastor opened up with gratefulness. That's how you start a Sabbath. But what we got locked into is, well, we can't do all these other things. The beautiful things you can do on a Sabbath are amazing. The things that you need to stop with is everything that pulls you into work, turmoil, a load that you're not supposed to be carrying. It's a day to go, you know what? I need to stop. I need to stop the emails. I need to stop my texts. I don't need to think about work right now. I'm going to think about my family. I'm going to think about the beauty of nature. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to lay in my hammock and I'm going to sleep. I'm going to swim in my pool. For some people, you know, and it's funny, right away, some people start to ask, like, is this okay or is that okay? Like, can I garden? Well, listen, if you hate gardening and it has to be work, don't garden, because that's work. But if you're like, I never get to garden and I love to garden, it makes me come alive, get in the garden. Can I ride my bike? I don't know. Can you ride your bike? See, this is what we do with law. We try to determine. But I want you to start thinking of, if it's a delay of delight, what makes my energy come back? What begins to empty this tank because I'm getting life? I can't empty it. Well, I'm beginning to get life again, so I feel good. I'm beginning to feel charged again. The thing that I love to do, I love to spend time with my family. I'm going home. I try to do this every Sunday. I try to go home on Sabbath. So I'm going to have a meal. And if our kids, we try to have our kids home, we're going to eat together as much as possible. But I'm starting to realize I need to add some things into my Sabbath. So we have this scripture. Turn with me to Mark, because this is where they got confused. I think I have a slide. Mark, you can look up here for sake of time. Mark 2, 27 to 28, because this is where Jesus began to flip things, because Jesus is preaching and he's under the law at this point. And all of a sudden they're walking through a field and they're picking grain to eat. And all the religious folk are like, whoa, Jesus, you cannot be the Son of God because you are working on the Sabbath. And then he comes up with this line and he says, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. See, we think that we're made to keep the Sabbath holy, but he's like, no, 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 I made the Sabbath for you. It's not for you to make me feel good. It's for me to make you whole again. Did you catch that? He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man. See, religion gets it mixed up. Well, I need to keep the Sabbath holy to make sure he's happy. And finally, the Son of God comes to the earth because he needs to come and fix things because they have this interpretation that doesn't make sense. And Jesus is like, guys, you got it so backwards. The Sabbath is for you. It doesn't do anything for me other than gets your attention back to me. But you don't have to do it to make me holy. You don't have to do it to say, oh, you're amazing, God, and don't smite me. He's like, no, this is for you to make you healthy again. And what we've done is we've ignored it. And all the while, we wonder why depression is skyrocketing. We wonder why anxiety is skyrocketing. We wonder why workplace burnout is becoming the number one thing that people go on leave for in jobs. Burnout. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that often the pace that we keep and the load that we carry are the things, especially unfortunately as men, that we're often the most proud of. I worked 12 weeks without taking a break. I'm so good. Where's your family? I don't know. I haven't seen them in a while. How's your marriage? Well, let's talk about something else. We're proud because we can carry a weight, but yet everything around us is falling apart. I'm determined to be excited to carry a rhythm that hopefully other people will go, I want a rhythm like that. And it doesn't mean that I'm not working 6 days a week. What I have to do is try to shut off my brain. I have to try to shut off all the things that are happening. And that can be hard. So this coming season, I am determined to go, Lord, I'm going to take a season, a Sabbath once a week and learn to rest. And the more I think about it, the more excited I get. Anybody else excited about rest? Now, here's the thing. For some of you, rest scares you. Like, if I stop and slow down, what's going to happen? So one of the things that I did not realize, whenever you do a habit, the habit is something that you are doing, but it is also something that you are speaking. So when I have a habit of exercise, I'm also speaking, I am determined to be healthy. But here's the thing about a Sabbath. When you take a Sabbath and you have the habit of rest, you are speaking, I trust God. And I never had that key. And there's a spot, I didn't put it up as a slide. It's really interesting. I was looking for something else and I came across it. It's interesting when he's describing Sabbath, he says this. He says, when you are harvesting and when you are plowing, you still take a day of rest. Whoa. Okay, we understand. When the crops are in the field and nothing's happening, I can take a day off. I get that. But you want me to take a day off when it's the busiest season, the plow and the harvest? You want me to take a day off? And God's like, yep. What? Whoa. Do you not realize the expenses that I have coming up? I need to work to provide. No, I want you to take a day off and trust me. Well, Lord, how's this going to work? You're going to have to trust me. I could tell you so many times, this is not Sabbath related, but I remember Caleb was 2 months old. And we find out 2 months later, I think it was 2 months, is that 4 months later? I don't know, we're not doing good math here. We found out very soon after Caleb was born, our first son, that we were pregnant. She was pregnant, I was joining her in this. And then a short time later, and I'll never forget it because I walked in because she had the ultrasound. And we found out with my brother so gently saying before the ultrasound, Krista, you're either having an elephant or twins. It's not a nice thing to say to your sister-in-law. We went to the ultrasound appointment. We saw two babies. And I did not know what to do. Because then I started to have dreams about vans. That was a nightmare. But then I fell in love with a van, but that's a different story. But I started, How do I afford a van? I knew our salary was not very high. Krista could not go back to work yet because she just had Caleb. Therefore, she couldn't get enough time in to be on maternity leave. So we lost that salary. We're going to have triple diapers. And then God just laughs in heaven sometimes with our plan because then they're all on formula. And that's another story that we had to be on formula. No judging. There was a reason. I couldn't figure out how we're going to do it. I was walking circles around my porch the one day, just trying to figure out how I was going to do it. You know, it's interesting. I wish I would have heard God just say, hey, trust me. Because you know what? Never once did we ever miss a payment. Not once. Never once did we go without. Never once did I not eat and let my family eat. I had to go, Lord, I got to give this to you. So part of this process is that we have to step back and go, Lord, I have to trust you with my finances. I have to trust you that I'm not going to sink the ship in this, and I'm going to learn to take a rest because I want to be there for you, my family, for my friends, my body, my mental health. And I love what John Mark Comer says. There's a beautiful book he writes called, oh, I just lost it. Tina, are you here? You're reading it. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Thank you. It's a beautiful book if you want to read a book. John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. But he says this, a Sabbath is an act of resistance. I'll put up the slide here. He says a couple more things. He says, Sabbath is an act of resistance against the tyranny of urgent things. Rest is an act of resistance. Sabbath is a way to break our addiction to the twin gods in the West, accomplishment and accumulation. That's powerful. See, accomplishment is how we feel valuable, although we're supposed to get our value from God. Accumulation is all the junk that we accumulate thinking this is what we need to feel valuable. And did you know more and more? You know what's popping up? Storage bins all over the world because we feel we need to own more. And then we stick it into a storage bin because we don't know what to do with it, but we're happy that we own it. So here's the thing. When you take a Sabbath, you are actually resisting the culture. You're making a statement by saying, I am resisting what I'm being told and I'm going to trust God. I'm resisting that I need to buy that next thing because my car is not that old and I'm going to be okay with it. So I don't need to buy a new car to have more expensive payments. I'm going to have an active resistance and trust God. I don't need more clothing to make myself feel better, more shoes to make myself feel better. I don't need more to make myself feel important. I'm going to rest. It's an act of resistance. John Mark Comer is also famous for saying this, and this is what woke me up. He said, you know, he was a pastor. He has a ministry now. It's different. He said, you know, as a pastor, if I break any of the commandments, I could get fired. But he said, it's interesting that I can break the Sabbath commandment and I'll get a raise if I work harder. And he was a pastor saying that, meaning that as a pastor, if he worked and didn't take a Sabbath but worked harder that day and had more programs in his church, he would get a raise. He's like, this doesn't make any sense. And that's when he began to understand about rest and something's out of whack here. Sabbath rest is a way to break our addiction to the twin gods in the West, accomplishment and accumulation. Man, if you take anything home this week, snapshot that and ponder that. Because when we step out of that cycle, out of that information overload of what we are being told we need, here's what's interesting, that your finances begin to change. Because if I don't need to buy, maybe I don't have to work the extra hour. And if I don't work the extra hour, maybe I can take that day off. And when your body begins to go, whoa, whoa. And by the way, this is the thing. you actually have to train your body to rest. If you have been on go mode for so long, your body is going to hate resting. Your leg will fidget. You'll be 2 hours in like, I am so bored. You're not bored, you just don't know how to rest anymore. And you have to retrain your body. You may have to sit on your hammock. And by the way, rest is not sleep. We think, I gotta sleep all day? No, but you may need to. Maybe the first one. But you need to sit on the hammock and you may have to tell yourself, hey, it's okay that I'm doing this. I'm not failing right now. I am winning. It's okay to rest. For some of you like me, I have to train myself on Sabbath when I take it, when my pool is dirty and I wanna get out the vacuum, I have to tell myself, it's okay. That could be dirty today and I'll clean it tomorrow. Because I'm notorious. If I see dirt, I'll go get the vacuum. I'll get the pool vacuum. I gotta cut the grass. You know, it's just, we work. But I have had to start telling myself, it's okay. I don't need to do that. Final thought, and then I'm gonna tell you an idea. Here's the key out of all of it. When we are hurried, when we are busy, when we are not resting, do you know the first thing that we begin to not hear is God's voice? What does it say in Psalms? Be still and know that I am God. The second thing we begin to not hear when we're busy are the voices around us that love us. When you're hurried and you are overwhelmed, are you the most loving person around? Nobody's answering. When you are overwhelmed and overloaded, are you the kind person that you want to be? No. Because you're overloaded, you're stressed. That's when my temper rises. That's when my fuse is short. That's when I yell. Maybe you swear. Maybe you turn to things that you wouldn't normally turn to because you're overwhelmed. But what if the answer is the Sabbath rest? It is. So church, I've had this for about 2 years. I wanna do an experiment this summer. You're all invited to join me. So actually, I want you to think about this. I'm not even gonna say we're gonna do it. I actually want you to think about it. I don't even want you to tell me right now, I'm in. I want you to think about it. And then you can maybe text me tomorrow. Not today. I'm going to have a Sabbath rest. Here's my dream, just so we can try it. See, we have a culture now where Sabbath is not a Sunday anymore for a lot of people because they can work shifts, and that's just reality. You know, Sabbath in the Jewish culture actually starts Friday night and ends Saturday night. Their seventh day in their culture is Saturday. Well, our culture is Sunday. It doesn't matter the day. It's actually taking a day of rest. For some people, your day of rest may be Wednesday. But here's what I know is that our culture in some ways still revolves around Sunday as a day of rest, if we choose it to be. So here's my crazy idea. I'd like you to join me. So think about it. I would like to take a day in July where we set a date and we plan it. And we don't do church on Sunday. We do church Saturday night. With the purpose, the sole purpose of going, we're gonna start a 24-hour Sabbath together as a family. Maybe church will be at 5 or 6 o'clock. And that when we come to celebrate, we actually will do it like a, not traditional, we'll make our own tradition up, but we'll have a tradition of saying, today we are starting a 24-hour day of rest as a church together. And we're gonna Sabbath together, we're gonna worship together, we're gonna honor the Lord together, we're gonna bless our kids together, we're gonna just have this service together. And then for the next 24 hours, we're going to commit together to rest, to actually go and keep each other accountable. Hey, today we're gonna put away our phones. We're actually, one of the things that I wanna start doing, I just read about, I love it, they actually have a Sabbath box. And they do two things. They put anything that they can that they need to into the box. So they put their cell phones in the box. Sometimes they put their laptops in the box. but they also write out things that they need to put into the box for the next 20, yeah, your kids. See you guys. Catch you later. No, you cannot do that, Connie. But what you can do is write out the burden that you're carrying. For the next 24 hours, I'm leaving God to take care of this because I can't. And for the next 24 hours, I'm going to leave it in that box. That problem I can't solve, my marriage that's on the rocks, the loved one that's addicted, I'm going to put that name down. It's not that I don't care, but for the next 24 hours, I'm going to rest in it. And I'm going to say, God, I've been trying for so long anyway and haven't really succeeded, so I'm going to give it and put it into your hands for 24 hours. Take care of my son. Take care of my daughter. Take care of my mom in the hospital. I'm not neglecting or being bad. I'm just going to take a rest from that burden. And it's still going to be there, unfortunately. And I'll pick it back up. So my idea would be that we would then go into a 24-hour rest period. I think it would be great if after we have our service, everybody goes, where are we going to eat? Let's go have a feast and celebrate. My plan would be this, that everybody prepares on Saturday for Sunday, so you make the meals, so you don't have to work. And then Sunday morning, you wake up and you have this beautiful meal with your family or with friends, and you give God glory and gratefulness for all that he's done in your life. And then you make a plan for the next 8 hours to go, guys, how are we going to rest? What is it going to look like? You want to go to Point Pelee? Go for a walk? Like, family, what are we going to do, especially if you have young kids? Or do you want to sit out and just enjoy the sun? Do you want to swim? Do you want to go to the beach? What do you want to do to recharge today? And the cool thing is, it's sunset to sunset. So, you know, the reality is Sunday night, a lot of people have to start to engage to get ready for work. Well, that's the beautiful thing about it is you do. It ends. So you can go, all right, my Sabbath is over. Pick up those emails if you need to. Plan your week. But you've just had 24 hours of rest. It does sound awesome. But here's what I know. It takes a plan. I didn't know. I was looking it up because I thought, well, if Jewish people take Friday and Saturday, their work week actually starts Sunday, not on Monday. But the cool thing is a lot of them take, they actually in their jobs, they take half of Friday off to prepare for Sabbath. It's in their culture with their jobs. And I've never been, you have, but I hear when you're there on a Sabbath, it is quiet. Oh, it stops at every floor. See, that's where they get legalistic. I can't push the button. That's a lot of work. So I'm gonna program it to go to every floor. Oh my gosh. But I do know this. You know, there's a lot of legalism there. But I do know this from somebody that had gone a lot. They said, you will not hear a day with more laughter than the Sabbath. Because it's a delight. They weave it into their whole day of how are we going to enjoy the day and laugh and tell stories. And they say that you will hear over gatherings because people are eating together as families and they are laughing together. Can you think of a better thing? Some of you are like, you don't know my family. I know. Sometimes we have challenges, but I'd also like to say, maybe would be different if we started this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. Just a thought. I was going to print out the list that there's a lot of things you can do on the Sabbath. Did you know, I'm going to get flack for this, but did you know one of the things that you're supposed to do on the Sabbath is make love when you're married? How many are into the Sabbath now? Thank you. One honest man. It's funny, right? So we make laws about it, but all the men are like, I'm not gonna say just men, but hey, that sounds like that's a good day. You got me on that one. What I'd like you to do this week, as we close, take some time to really look at potentially the lie that we've been sold. With 10,000 ads a day. Young people, If I could convince you of anything, is to get a hold of this message because it'll change your life. Because you quickly learn when you do an inventory, a lot of the stuff I thought I needed, I don't really need. And then you learn to be able to trust God and rest. Take an inventory. Begin to think, what would that look like? Maybe today you could go home and go, let's take this seriously, guys. Let's go out and have lunch. Let's not go out and have lunch. Let's go home and have lunch. Let's just sit together. How can you even take 2 hours to rest? But what I do know, and I told the elders and different ones that I've talked to, I've had this for 2 years, this idea that I can't get out of my heart. I feel like just for my sake, we need to try it. Because I feel like God maybe has something in there for us. Amen. Why don't you stand? There's a lot on this that I'm sure weigh you down, weigh me down. So let's end the way we started. And let's just end with God's rest. Father God, I just ask as we close today. Lord, I know there are many in here that are carrying more weight than I am. I know there are some in here that are carrying a weight that feels impossible to carry anymore. So Lord, right now, may the God of rest bring a supernatural rest and peace to all those here. Lord, for those that are overloaded, not by choice, but because of life and situations, I pray that you would give them strength. Lord, I pray that you would give them creativity. I pray that you would give them wisdom to know how to delegate, wisdom to know how to get reinforcements if needed. And Lord, sometimes there's not even that ability. So Lord, would you just give them grace, give them rest, give them peace. And Lord, I pray for each of us that this would not just be a message that we hear, but this would be a practice that we live by. You would begin to show us how to take a Sabbath rest, a Shabbat, how to stop, cease, and focus on you. We thank you that you are a good God who wants us to rest. What a gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.